بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Okay, today this is our 58th session. 58. Reading from Arabic lessons in Fiqh, level 3, Al-Mustawa Thalith, Islamic University Medina, Arabic Language Institute. And today, inshallah, we're going to be taking a new subject, a new chapter, that is Kitab al-Hajj. Naam, Kitab al-Hajj. And this chapter from our book, Level 3 Fiqh, from the Islamic University of Medina Arabic Language Institute, begins on page 76 with the definition, and then follows with the virtues and excellence of Hajj on page 76 and 77, and then yani what follows, inshallah. And I don't know how much we're going to be able to cover today, but that's what we're going to start at. Kitab al-Hajj. Naam. You have a question related to this topic or related to another matter?
I have a question.
Okay, inshallah. But let's yes.
I have a question.
But is it related to this topic?
Not really.
Okay, inshallah, we'll take it. But let's get started first. Let's try to at least get started, inshallah. Yeah, inshallah. So, I'm going to start reading from our textbook for this class, Arabic Lessons in Fiqh Level 3, Kitab al-Hajj, on page 76. So the first thing that we begin with is the definition of Hajj. Ta'arifuhu. Ta'arif al-Hajj. And by the way, as you know, I mean, those of you who've been with us with this class for some time now, normally in the books of Fiqh, every subject begins with the definition of what we're talking about, to define and clarify what we're talking about. And usually the Muslim scholars, the scholars of Sunnah, usually give the linguistic definition as well as the technical definition. The linguistic definition in Arabic language of that particular word or that subject or that matter, and then the technical definition of it in the Sharia. So that we have a clear idea of what we're talking about, and then normally that's going to be followed yani in the fiqh books with the hukum, yani the ruling concerning that particular matter. Is it yani wajib or mustahab or mubah or whatever, and so on. In reference to acts of worship, normally there's going to be a chapter or a subtitle dealing with the virtues or the excellence of hajj, for example, or salat or zakat or siyam or whatever it might be. You know, with some ayahs from the Quran or hadith which show yani the virtue or the excellence or the superiority of this act as an encouragement for a person. So this is what we're going to start with, the ta'arif, the definition of hajj, and then we're going to talk about the superiority of hajj over many, many other acts of worship, the excellence and the virtues of hajj as it is recorded yani in the Quran and as it is reported in the authentic hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, the first topic is the ta'arif. Does anybody know what is the linguistic meaning of hajj? Linguistic meaning of hajj. It's inside the book, but I don't want you to look in the book. I want to know, do you already know? Yani, you already previewed it. You read it last week.
I did preview it.
No. So, do you remember what is the linguistic meaning? Al-qasd. Al-qasdu, mashallah. Al-hajj, logatan, al-qasdu. Meaning what?
Intent.
To have intent. Yani to set as an objective something that you're going to do. Okay, that's the linguistic meaning of hajj. And a person has intent. They have set an objective, yani for example, to go to a particular place to do a certain act or actions. Naam. So it says here, al-hajj fil lughati, yani linguistically, is al-qasdu. والحج في الشرعي في الشرعي. Anybody know what is the link, the technical Sharia meaning of Hajj? And if there's different scholars have given different meanings, if somebody gives me some idea, and what is, huh? To attempt to intend to perform pilgrimage to the house of Allah to fulfill an obligation from the obligations of Islam. Yani, that's good. Anybody else?
Intend to perform
the rites, okay, the manasik of Hajj, to perform certain actions. Naam. Okay, that is an obligation and it's one of the pillars of Islam. Anything else that we want to add, for example, yani, for example, shouldn't it include the time or something like that? Does it mean that you do it at a certain time? And it doesn't hide to have a special time like this? Okay, yeah. Anything else? Anything else? Okay, so let's see what yani they have given us here in this book. They said al-hajj fi shara, huh? Okay, yeah, without going into the detail, but I'm saying, yani, if you have an intent to perform manasik, certain rites, yani, acts of worship, in a certain time, in a certain place, in a certain manner like this. So when we say al-hajj fi shara, qasdu makkata, yani, intending, setting as your objective to go to Mecca. That's the place. Wal manasik, and also intending certain rites that are specific to Hajj. لِأَدَاءِ عِبَادَةٍ لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى مُعَيِّنَةٍ فِي وَقْتٍ مُعَيِّنٍ. That's the core of the definition that they have given here as far as the Sharia definition of Hajj. قَسْتُ مَكَّةَ وَالْمَنَاسِقِ, yani intending to go to Mecca and to perform certain rites, actions that Allah has legislated. لِأَدَاءِ عِبَادَةٍ, yani with the intent of what? Fulfilling an act of worship for Allah Ta'ala, the Most High. Yani, ibadatin mu'ayyinatin. Yani, meaning specific, particular act of worship for Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala fi waqtin mu'ayyinin. In a specific time. In a specific time. Al Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen in Fiqh al-Ibadat. لأداء عبادة. Yeah, أداء means to perform, to fulfill, to fulfill, to fulfill or to perform an act of worship, a specific act of worship. عبادة معينة لله تعالى, for the sake of Allah. يعني meaning with the intent of doing it sincerely for the sake of Allah. الإمام محمد بن صالح الثيمين says in فقه العبادات, and I have it here somewhere, but in any case, I'm sorry, not in Fiqh al-Ibadat, that's why it's not here. He said in another place, in Al-Ahkam, yani Jami al-Ahkam li-Fiqh al-Sunnah. Jami al-Ahkam li-Fiqh al-Sunnah. Yani we don't have that book as a secondary source, but in Fiqh al-Ibadat, he didn't give a definition there, so I took it from another source, from Al-Jami li-Ahkam Fiqh al-Sunnah. In that book, the Shaykh, he said, yani the linguistic definition of Hajj, At-Ta'abud lillahi ta'ala. At-Ta'abud lillahi ta'ala. Yani doing an act of worship for Allah the Most High. Bi-Qasdi Mekkata. Yani intending Mecca. Yani going, making the objective to go to Mecca. Li-Iqamati al-Manasiqi. To fulfill or to perform the manasik. Any manasik has different meanings. In this case, the meaning of manasik means the rites of Hajj. Any of the things that you have to do for Hajj, like tawaf and sa'i and staying at Mina and like this, throwing the stones at the Jamarat in Mina and so on. This is what we mean by manasik here. Although manasik has different meanings, this is the meaning that's intended here. Yani doing an act of worship for Allah the Most High, yani intending to go to Mecca for the establishment of the manasik, the rites of Hajj. Now, the Shaykh Uthaymeen said, التعبد لله تعالى بقصد مكة لإقامة المناسك. وياك. Likewise, another definition, huh? Al-Manasiki. Oh, R-I-T-E-S, rights, Manasik, rights of Hajj. Yeah, not the rights like somebody's hukuk, I have a right to this. No, the rights meaning the ritual acts of worship. The ritual acts of worship. R-I-T-E-S, rights. Tayyib. So, could also in the ta'liq of Sheikh Safi Rahman al-Mubarak Fouri on Bulugh Maram, he says in the chapter of Hajj, Kitab al-Hajj, in the footnote he says, Bifat al-Ha wa Kasriha. Kitab al-Hajj, yani with Fat, yani Hajj or Kasra, Hijj. Kitab al-Hajj or Kitab al-Hijj. Both of them are correct. وَهُوَ لُغَةً الْقَصْدِ. Same thing. And as far as the shar'i meaning, he says, الْقَصْدِ إِلَى بَيْتَ الْحَرَامِ. Yani intending to go to the sacred house. بِأَعْمَالٍ مَخْصُوصَةٍ. With particular special actions, acts. فِي أَيَّامٍ مَخْصُوصَةٍ. In particular special days. And he goes on to say, وَهُوَ رُكْنٌ مِنْ أَرْكَانِ الْإِسْلَامِ الْخَمْسَةِ. It is one of the five pillars of Islam. بِاتِّفَاقِ, by agreement of the scholars of Islam. وَأَوَّلُ فَرْضِهِ سَنَةَ سِتَّةِ عِنْدَ الْجَمْهُورِ. And the time when it was first made obligatory was in the 6th year according to the majority of scholars. But it has also been said, سَنَةَ تِسْعٍ, the 9th year, أو عَشْرٍ, 10th year. وَأَخْتَارَهُ إِبْنُ الْقَيِّمِ فِي الْهَدْيِ. Yani that it was in the 9th or 10th year, Ibn al-Qayyim says. That was his chosen view. Yani the Shaykh Safi Rahman is saying that the year when it was first made obligatory was the 6th year according to the majority of scholars, but it also said that it was the 9th or the 10th year. Okay, I'm going to go back after reading this definition from Shaykh Safi Rahman, yani that the Sharia definition is intending the sacred house, intending Mecca, intending the sacred house with special actions and special deeds, and it's a pillar from the five pillars of Islam by agreement. I'm going to go back to the textbook where after the definition they also said وَفُرِضَ سَنَةَ تِسَعٍ مِنَ الْحِجْرَةِ النَّبَوِيَّةِ, yani that the Hajj was made obligatory in the 9th year of the Hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So obviously there's some difference of opinion about when it was made obligatory. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah says, فُرِضَ الْحَجِّ عَلَى الْقَوْلَ الرَّاجِحِ. عَلَى قَوْلَ الرَّاجِحِ meaning? The preponderant. Yani the more likely, stronger view concerning the matter. And of course, whenever the scholars say عَلَى الْقَوْلَ الرَّاجِحِ, what is understood from that is that there's difference of opinion about this matter. Yani whenever a scholar says ala qawl al-raji, then what is intended by that is that there's difference of opinion. This is something that's not agreed upon. And then the stronger opinion is, yani as he sees it here, the Shaykh says, qawl al-raji fi sana al-tasiya, aw sana al-ashira. That the Hajj, the pilgrimage to Mecca, was made obligatory according to the stronger opinion in the 9th or 10th year of the Hijr. The Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, he says, وَفَرَضَهُ اللَّهُ بِقَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى, and Allah made obligatory by this saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al Imran, 3rd Surah 97th ayah, وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنْ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ. The Shaykh is saying that the Hajj was made obligatory when Allah revealed this ayah, وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجِّ الْبَيْتِ, yani that Allah has a right. It is a right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the people that they perform pilgrimage to the house, yani the sacred house, the Kaaba in Mecca, مَنْ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا, whoever has the ability, whoever is able to find a way to go there. وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ. And then Allah closes this ayat by saying, and whoever disbelieved, then indeed Allah is free of need of all of the worlds. Allah has no need of anything in His creation. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen says in reference to this ayat, وَنَزَلَتْ هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ فِي سَنَةِ تِسْعٍ مِنَ الْهِجْرَةِ. Now what is the significance of this? The Shaykh is saying this ayat was revealed in the 9th year. We already heard that the majority of scholars say Hajj was made obligatory in the 6th year. And some said 9th year or 10th year. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen is saying that the Qawl of Raji is that it was in the 9th or 10th year. The ayah was only revealed in the 9th year. The ayah was only revealed in the 9th year. So, I mean, there's a difference of opinion. The majority of scholars say in the 6th year. Ibn Qayyim, he said, he felt that the stronger view was that it was the 9th or 10th year. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen says that's the Raji, that it was in the 9th or 10th year. And then he says that the ayah was made obligatory, I mean that Hajj was made obligatory in this ayah, and that ayah was revealed in the 9th year. Yani the 97th surah, ayah of Surah Ali Imran, 3rd surah of the Quran. Naam. So that's in reference to yani the technical, the linguistic and the technical meaning of Hajj, and yani when the Hajj was first made obligatory, in the 6th year, or in the 9th year, or in the 10th year. Naam. The ayah was revealed in the 9th year of the Hijra calendar. Naam. 9th year after the Prophet's migration. Allahu A'lam. No, I don't know what the opinion of the Jumhur, I don't know what is the basis of the opinion, so I'm not really yani aware at this moment. I don't recall if I've read in the past, I don't remember. But in any case, there's no doubt that the majority of the scholars, the Jumhur, is not going to hold the opinion except there's some evidence for it. So there's no harm in us going back and trying to look in more sources. Of course, what we are reading from is a summary of the affair, right? So we're going to a few secondary sources just to kind of fill in a little bit, but there's much left, right? So yani, the books that go into details of these matters need to be consulted, okay? There are big books of fiqh that deal with these issues that we can all go back to and look at and try to get more details. And from amongst the books, you know, where you'll find some of the details of the various opinions of different scholars concerning any particular issue, is like Bidayat al-Mujtahid by Ibn Rushd. Okay, even though it has some shortcomings, has a lot of shortcomings, but it also brings the opinions of the Madahib, and it brings some evidences for each of their opinions, and it also yani makes some comparison between the views and the evidences. So it's good in that sense, that will give you an overview of the different Madahib, each of them, what's their opinion generally, and what is the evidence, something of the evidence. It's not conclusive or completely comprehensive, but it gives us an overview. And a book like that is a book that you can go back to. Also, any from the books of Hadith is the explanation of Imam Shawkani, his explanation, Nail al-Awta, in which he also usually gives the various views on any particular issue of fiqh where there's difference, usually gives the various views and the evidences of each view, and yani some comparison of some of what they said. Sometimes he even says what is his view, yani what he thinks is the stronger view. So those kind of books have to be consulted, a little bit more detail, yani to see yani a little bit further. Even the explanation of Bulugh al-Maram, a detailed explanation of Bulugh al-Maram, like Subl al-Salam by Imam al-San'ani, rahimahullah. And even there, yani sometimes you'll find a lot of the details concerning these kind of matters, in which he also discussed various views and the evidences of each view in the matters of fiqh that are related to the hadith that came in that book, Bulugh al-Maram, by Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani. Okay, going back to our textbook, after reading the ta'rif, the second point that's made here on the same page 76, Kitab al-Hajj, Hukmuhu, yani the hukm of Hajj. What is the ruling concerning al-Hajj? What is the ruling concerning Hajj? It's one of the pillars of Islam. And it's a fard from the furud, from the faraid. Naam. هو أحد أركان الإسلام وفرض من الفرائد التي علمت من الدين بالضرورة منكر وجوبه كافر مرتد عن الإسلام لقول الله تعالى ولله على الناس حج البيت من استطاع إليه سبيلا ومن كفر and this is the point here the شاهد ومن كفر فإن الله غني عن العالمين يعني same ayah that we read before third surah 97th ayah and they are saying then that the ruling concerning Hajj is that first and foremost it's one of the pillars of Islam it's one of the five pillars of Islam and it is an obligatory duty from the obligations upon Muslims which is known ulimat min ad-din bid-darurati it is something that is known to be and a part of the deen yani by necessity everybody who is a Muslim has to know unless they just entered into Islam or they're living in a place where there are no other Muslims and there are no scholars and there's no way to learn otherwise ulimat min ad-din bid-darurati is something that everyone must of necessity know is a part of this deen and therefore munkiru wujubihi whoever rejects denies the obligation of Hajj now notice munkir wujubihi doesn't mean the person who failed to perform Hajj even though they are able to do so but it means the person who says I reject the idea that Hajj is obligatory I don't believe that not that I don't want to spend my money to make Hajj Or I'll go some other time. It's not, yani, it's not the priority on my list right now. I'll go when I get older. I'll go when whatever and so on that people say, which is the common, yani, position of probably a large number of people, if not the majority of Muslims in the world. Otherwise, with all the Muslims in the world today, there wouldn't be 5 million people making Hajj every year. There wouldn't be 6 or 7 million people. There would be 100 millions of people making Hajj every year. Unless there are people who, and you don't feel that it's that important. Hu'ad arkan al-Islam. It's an obligatory duty that's known to be from the deen by necessity. And the one who rejects it as an obligation, who denies that this is an obligation, is a kafir murtaddun ala al-Islam. Yani is a disbeliever who has left, gone outside of Islam. Because Allah said that it is, Allah has a right over the people that they perform pilgrimage to the house for whoever is able to do so. And whoever disbelieved, and who rejected this obligation, then indeed Allah is free of need of anyone or anything in the creation. I also wanted to mention what Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan says concerning the obligation of Hajj and who it is obligatory upon in Al-Mulakhis Al-Fiqhi. And his fiqh summary, he says, after Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, chapter, the Hajj and who it is obligatory upon, he said, the Hajj is one of the pillars of Islam, وَمَبَانِهِ الْعِظَامِ One of the tremendous great foundations of Islam. And then he mentions the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Ali Imran, that it is the right of Allah over the people to make Hajj, whoever has a way to do so. He says, يعني the meaning of لِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ أي لِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ فَرُضٌ وَاجِبٌ هُوَ حَجُّ الْبَيْتِ يعني that Allah has a right over the people he said this means that it is an obligatory duty to perform Hajj to the house and this is understood from the kalima عَلَى يعني in this ayah of the Quran لِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ he said كَلِمَةَ عَلَى للإجاب indicates that it is wajib وقد أتبعه بقوله جل وعلا and this is the shahid from what the shaykh says here and then Allah followed that statement saying that it's obligatory to make hajj he followed it by saying ومن كفر فإن الله غني على العالمين and whoever disbelieved Allah is free of need of everything in the creation he said so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala فسمى تعالى تاركه كافرا Allah named the person who abandoned the Hajj to be a kafir. وَهَذَا مِمَّا يَدُلُّ عَلَى وُجُوبِهِ And this indicates that it's obligatory and that it is an affirmed, confirmed duty. فَمَنْ لَمْ يَعْتَقِدْ وُجُوبَهُ فَهُوَ كَافِرٌ بِالْإِجْمَاعِ Notice what the Shaykh closed the sentence by saying, فَمَنْ لَمْ يَعْتَقِدْ وُجُوبَهُ فَهُوَ كَافِرٌ بِالْإِجْمَاعِ And the person who doesn't believe that it's obligatory. He didn't say the person who doesn't, who fails to perform that obligatory duty. But he said, فَمَنْ لَمْ يَعْتَقِدْ وُجُوبَهُ. This person is a kafir by ijma, by consensus, there's no difference of opinion. There is difference of opinion about the one who fails to perform it, though he's able to. There's difference of opinion about that. But as far as the person who doesn't believe that it's obligatory, he's saying this is the intended meaning of this ayat, that yani, a person who, since Allah clearly states that it's obligatory, so if a person doesn't believe that, that's the meaning of فَمَنْ كَفَرَ. Yani whoever disbelieved, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ. Huh?
Can I ask you a question? Now. Relating to whoever is able to go and then go disbelieve. But if the person is able to go and he sent his father or his mom and then he died before going, he didn't go to the Hajj, but he sent some.
Yeah, if a person was able to perform Hajj, and it's obligatory duty, according to many of the scholars, fawran, yani immediately upon being able to do so. Yani it's not something that you have a right to delay. Hajj is an obligation on the Muslim. Whoever is able, man istata'a ilayhi sabila, fawran, as soon as they are able. Yani when a person became able, he can't say, I'm going to go next year. I'm going to go when I finish college, or I'm going to go when I do. If a person is able, then he has to go immediately, without delay. As far as the details of every kind of circumstance that people might imagine, there are all kinds of circumstances. A person is able to make Hajj, but he wants to send his mother or his father. Huh? Or he wants to send his sister or his brother. Or he wants to send his older yani sibling, who's maybe old and dying, or whatever, or he wants to do something else with that money that he thinks is very important. People are in need, people are starving in his country, or something, whatever. Okay, those are details, right? But the rule is, the basic rule is, that whoever is able to make Hajj has to do so instantly, as soon as the time for Hajj came, if they have the ability to do so, without any delay. Nothing else, yeah, he should be given precedence over that. That's the basic rule. Are there some circumstances that can be considered? Sure, there are. But if a person is able and they don't, and then they die without doing it, then, I mean, it's like a person, it came time for Salat, and they say, I'll make it later, I have until, yani Asr came in at 4:30, I have until 7 o'clock, until Maghrib, and they delayed it, and then before 7 o'clock came, they died. And they didn't perform the Salat, and that Salat was obligatory upon them. The excuse from Maghrib, they didn't reach Maghrib. But also, you're not excused from. So a person has to think when there's a time frame on something to do it without delay. Yani, hasten in doing those things that Allah has made obligatory upon us. Especially. Like the details, yani, we can look at so many different circumstances that we, Allahu A'lam, about every specific detail. What's more important than something else? The point is, the only point that we're going to make here is that, and we're going to come to this point and discuss it in more detail about when you have to make the Hajj. Okay, I'm just saying in reference to your question, I'm just trying to answer your question generally without going to the specifics, because then somebody else might have a question about why they didn't go to Hajj yet, or why somebody didn't go to Hajj yet because of some other reason. It will never like get past where we're at. So I'm just saying, like, the general answer is that you can't delay it to do anything else. You can't delay it. Yes, there's some circumstances where it might be excused for, but we don't want to take a chance with that. We can come to it. Yes, we can come to it. But not here at this point. We're going to come to it when we reach it. Okay, inshallah. Because otherwise, there might be 101 questions. Sheikh Uthaymeen has 100 pages of fatawa related to Hajj. Every one of them is a question that somebody had. But everyone has to come to each one when we come to it. You can send somebody. Naam, there's no doubt that you can send somebody far. Yani, the general rule, we don't want to go into the details, okay, because otherwise we'll never finish. The general rule is that any act of worship that is done for the sake of Allah, a person has to give preference to their self first over anybody else. To their self first over anybody else. And that's why sometimes the brother is in the first line, he said, come get in the line, take this space, and I'll come in the back. No, you shouldn't give somebody else your place. You have to give preference to yourself first. It doesn't matter who they are. If they have the right to lead the prayer, that's different. But to stand in the first line and you there first, that's your right. You can't give preference to other people. You shouldn't give preference to other people, and that which is your duty to Allah. Actually, you have to make sure you fulfill yourself first.
Even though Sheikh is like the old man than me, I wanna.
The old man might live longer than you, who are young men. He may live longer than you. Yeah, you think he's going to die? Rather, perhaps you're going to die before him. You better go ahead and make Hajj yourself. The old man may live for another 20 years, and you only have 6 months left. If you don't make Hajj now, you're going to miss it. And we don't know, like the old man. I understand the thinking, but in any case, that's the only way I can answer it. I don't have any further answer. Allahu a'lam. I don't know. That's all I can say. We're going to come to the topic a little bit more as we go through the topics that they have mentioned here. So Allah has named the person who abandons the Hajj. While they know it's obligatory, then He named them as a kafir, and this indicates that it's obligatory and that it's a very strongly affirmed obligation. So whoever doesn't believe that it's obligatory, then this person is a kafir according to ijma' scholars. The Shaykh also mentioned وَقَالَ تَعَالَى لِخَلِيلِهِ, and that Allah said to His Khalil, وَأَذِّن فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ, yani, announce, call all the people to perform the pilgrimage. And it's also and then the Shaykh mentioned some other points. I'll stop here because I want to get back to our topic, and our time is limited, right? Okay, so as far as the next topic after the hukm of Hajj, the third topic is fadlu Hajj, the excellence, the virtue or the superiority of Hajj, fadlu Hajj. They said, and I'm reading from the textbook, page 76, وردت أحاديث كثيرة في فضل الحج وأنه من أفضل الأعمال وأنه يكفر الذنوب وأنه جهاد وأن ثوابه الجنة. ومن هذه الأحاديث ما يلي, many hadith have been narrated or reported concerning the excellence of Hajj, and from amongst those hadith is that which indicates that it is from the best of deeds, afdal al-amal. It is from amongst the best of deeds that a person can do. وَأَنَّ يُكَفْرُ الذُّنُوبِ, and also there are hadith which indicate that Hajj expiates for a person's sins. All of them, according to some scholars, major and minor. وَأَنَّهُ jihad, and that Hajj is a type of jihad. وَأَنَّ ثَوَابَهُ jannah, and that the reward for Hajj is paradise. These are some of the points that are mentioned as the virtues of Hajj, and some of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the first hadith that they mention, the first hadith is on the authority of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. He said, سُئِلَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَيُّ الْعَمَلِ أَفْضَلُ, which of the deeds or which deed is the best, the most superior, the most preferred of deeds? قَالَ إِمَانٌ بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ, and the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, the best of deeds is what? Have an iman in Allah and His Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. قِيلَ ثُمَّ مَاذَا, it was said, and then what after iman in Allah? Yani how could anything be better than iman in Allah? Because without iman in Allah, right, whatever you do, it doesn't have any benefit anyway. It's useless if you don't have iman in Allah and His Messenger. So a person has to enter Islam and believe in Allah and His Messenger in order to perform Hajj or Salat or Zakat or anything of good deeds that you do. So the Prophet ﷺ, when he was asked, أَيُّ عَمَلْ أَفْضَلُ, he said, إِمَانٌ بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم. Then what after that? He said, الْجِهَادُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. قيل ثم ماذا؟ قال حج مبرور. They said then what? حج مبرور. This hadith is reported by Al-Bukhari Muslim. Muttafaqun alayh. No? You don't want to take too long, but you will though anyway.
I just wanted to leave with me, like, break the warm-up,
طيب طيب this is the first hadith mentioned in our textbook, hadith of Abu Hurairah reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. The best of these, Iman and Allah and His Messenger, then al-jihad fi sabilillah. And also understand that jihad fi sabilillah means jihad that is being performed sincerely for the sake of Allah, not for some other worldly reasons, whatever they might be, however noble they might be, but for the sake of Allah. It has to be in the cause of Allah, in the way of Allah, according to the Sharia of Allah, according to the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, sincerely for the sake of Allah. After Iman, this is the best of deeds. Then after that, Hajj Mabrur. Does this show the greatness of Hajj? That there's nothing before it except believing in Allah Himself and striving in the cause of Allah for the establishment of the deen of Allah. Then after that is Hajj. Khalas, over everything else. All the deeds that we love, that we give our heart to, giving charity, fasting in Ramadan, praying every day, all of that, Hajj is better than all of that. Okay, Shaykh As-Safir Rahman Mubarak 40, he mentions another hadith, or he didn't mention, but he comments on the first hadith in the book of Hajj that Al-Hafiz ibn Hajj al-Asqalani mentions, and that is the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال العمرة إلى العمرة كفارة لما بينهما والحاج المبرور ليس له جزاء إلا الجنة. This hadith is the first hadith in Kitab al-Hajj and Bulugh al-Muram. I'm reading it now ahead of time because of the question of Ibrahim. He wants to know about Hajj al-Mabrur. What does that actually mean? So this hadith, Sheikh Safi al-Rahman commented on this hadith explaining what's Hajj al-Mabrur. So that's why I'm reading this hadith now. Yani that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, from one umrah to the next is a kafara, expiation, lima baynahuma, of the sins that are committed between them. Wal hajj al mabrur, and the hajj mabrur, laysa lahu jaza'un illa al jannah. And this is one of the topics that we will come to in our textbook, right? There is no reward for the hajj al mabrur except jannah. Muttafaqun alayhi, reported by Al-Bukhari Muslim. The Shaykh says, in reference to hajj mabrur, he said, "Qila," the meaning of Hajj Mabrur, "Qila alladhi la yukhalituhu shay'un min al-ithm." Yani al-Hajj Mabrur is the Hajj in which the person hasn't committed any sin. Yani during the performance of Hajj, they didn't commit any sin. They didn't lie, wa alaykum salam. They didn't lie, they didn't steal, they didn't cheat, they didn't yani look at the haram, listen to the haram, engage in haram. Yani Hajj al-Mabrur, meaning that their heart was completely dedicated to the worship of Allah, yani fulfilling His commands and avoiding His prohibitions. Qila, this one definition that was given. The Shaykh says, Qila huwa alladhi yakunu ba'dahu halu sahibihi khayran min halihi qablahu. Another opinion, the Hajj al-Mabrur is the Hajj in which the condition of the person who performed that Hajj, يعني يكون بعد حج بعده حال صاحبها خير من حاله قبله. يعني his condition after performing that Hajj is better than his condition before. يعني he didn't come back the same. He came back a different person. Whatever he was doing before, he's not doing it anymore. His shortcomings that he was failing to fulfill obligatory duties, he's not failing to do them anymore. He came back in a different condition. That's one opinion. وقيل هو المقبول. يعني the Hajj al-Mabrur is the Hajj that Allah accepts. يعني if Allah accepted your Hajj, that's Hajj al-Mabrur. The Hajj that there's no reward for except Jannah is if a person performed Hajj, Allah accepted it. Allah accepted it. And then the Shaykh, he says, وهذه الأقوال متقاربة المعنى. متقاربة المعنى. يعني these sayings or these views are similar in meaning. And if you really look at them carefully, they're not very different. They're just different words that's expressing the same thing. The Hajj in which a person didn't commit sins. Yani that means Allah, inshallah, accepted it. Because what? Because they made Hajj well. You know, the Hajj in which what? That a person was affected by performing the Hajj such that when they returned, they were a different person. Because of what they did during the Hajj. Because of what they were doing during Hajj. So it changed their condition. So all of these are not contradictory, rather, they are all complementary to one another. Yani the Hajj that's accepted is the Hajj in which a person, yani doesn't engage in sin. They're doing the things that are pleasing to Allah. And for that reason, Allah accepted their Hajj. For that reason, it changed them, made them different. Yani when a person performs salat the way it's supposed to be performed, with ikhlas and khushu' and according to the sunnah, when they come out of salat, they're not supposed to be the same as they were before the salat. Huh? And that is because when a person is worshipping Allah the way he's supposed to be worshipped, it's supposed to affect you. The worship actually is a means of purification that purifies your heart and brings you nearer to Allah and makes you a better person. So these are some of the meanings of al-Hajj al-Mabrur, and other scholars gave other yani definitions of al-Hajj al-Mabrur. But all of it is going to center around this, meaning the Hajj is performed correctly, in obedience to Allah, fulfilling the obligatory duties, fulfilling the sunan, not avoiding, not yani engaging in sin or violation of the guidelines of the rules of Hajj and so on, yani doing it sincerely for the sake of Allah, yani Hajj al-Mabrur. Naam. Ya Ibrahim. Naam. Perhaps. I mean, it's from, that's the root that it's from. Bar, yani, means yani, right, good, yani, naam, dutiful, naam. The definition that says what? Yani la yukhalituhu. Yani meaning that you didn't mix sin into your Hajj. Yani while you're performing salat, you're not looking at women. While you're going around the Kaaba, you're not trying to touch the opposite sex because it's crowded. You're not mixing the worship with sinful acts. Meaning you're trying to do them in obedience to Allah, purely for the sake of Allah. It doesn't mean that you became an angel. But it means that the acts of worship that you're doing during Hajj, you're trying to protect them and guard them by not mixing them with sin. Doing the best you can. No. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, something they slip in, and Allah yani is forgiving and merciful. And Allah is forgiving and merciful. No. And the point is that فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. Huh? That's really the point. That you do the best you can. That you're really trying to be obedient to Allah. Yeah, because, I mean, there's almost, it's almost impossible. Not only the tawaf, even the salat. Sometimes they try to separate the men from the women, but in Hajj time, it's not possible, really. I mean, you can't let your wife get away from you while you're making tawaf. You will never find her again. Yeah, until the end of the year. That would be finished. You have to go home and get a new wife. You can't let your wife, the woman, your daughter, your sister in Hajj, you have to keep them beside you. Khalas, there's no discussion about that. Not only keep them beside you, you have to hold them. You have to hold them tight. It's crowded. It's millions of people there. And some people are not paying attention. And they're not thinking about the next person. Their mind is somewhere else when they're at the Kaaba. Some people actually lost their mind. They're not thinking that. They're not fearing Allah even. They're just thinking, I'm going around the Kaaba. And whoever's in the way, I'll knock them down, stomp them, stampede them. It doesn't matter. They will push people. They will knock people down. Yeah. So in that kind of situation, that's the reality.
Yeah.
If you have a woman with you, you have to hold her. You have to keep her with you. You have to keep tight hold on her. If you have a child with you or a young person, you have to take care of them. This is not a place where you're going to be separate. If the time for the salat come, you're going to pray right there, wherever you are. There's women there, there's men there. Salat, there's no separation. There's no way to separate. What? There's no choice. You have no choice. There's no escape from this. There's nothing that you can do. There's no way that they can tell, okay, all the women go to the back now, and the men move to the front. That's not impossible. It's not possible. First of all, you can't move to the back. It's too crowded. You can't even move to the back. You just got to move with the crowd. There's no such thing as, well, let me just go to the back lines now. There's no such thing as that. You just pray where you are. That's kalas. No discussion. That's the reality of the situation. Anyway, this is a special circumstance, a special situation. This is the first hadith that we mentioned. Now,
if you go together with your wife, it's just like Ramadan.
If you go with your wife, you have to keep her with you wherever you can. Yani, especially in the tawaf, especially in the tawaf and in the sa'i. Maybe in other parts of the Hajj, okay, it might be some different.
Everybody has to be on their side, like praying only and worshiping only.
I don't understand the question.
So, like, when you go with your wife, you can't do anything except worshiping.
No, you shouldn't have any relations during the state of ihram. No, in the state of ihram, when you're in the state of ihram, you're not allowed to have any kind of sexual activity. Naam. No, okay, no problem. Inshallah, that's a question that it has to come anyway. You know. Okay. Yeah, there are some things that you can do to try to help, inshallah. Second hadith, on top of page 77, second hadith, wa anhu, radiallahu anhu. Anhu means what? Wa an Abi Hurayra, radiallahu anhu, qala sami'tu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yaqul, man hajja, falam yarfuth, walam yafsuq, raja'a, كَيَوْمِ وَلَدَتُ أُمُّهُ مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ. Yani, the Prophet ﷺ said that whoever performs Hajj and they didn't يَرْفُث, yani they didn't engage in obscenities, whether it is some kind of sexual activity or other type of obscene speech or behavior, وَلَمْ يَفْسُقْ, and they didn't commit acts of disobedience to Allah. Go out, yani الفسوق means الخروج عن طاعة الله. They didn't commit sins. Whoever did this, yani raja'a, whoever performed Hajj without making rafth, without making fisq, raja'a kayawmi waladatu ummuhu, that person will return to their land after the completion of Hajj, like, yani in the same condition as the day that their mother gave birth to them. In the same condition as the condition they were in when their mother gave birth to them. And surely, no human being came into this world on the day of their birth with sins. Not major sins, nor minor sins. Hadith muttafaqun alayh. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen says in explanation of Riyad al-Salihin, Raja'a min al-dhunubi naqiyyan. Yani, Raja'a kayawma waladatu ummuhu. He said the meaning is, Raja'a min al-dhunub naqiyan. He returned pure, completely free from sins. La zunuba alayhi. There's no sin upon him. La zunuba alayhi. La nafil al jins. Meaning absolutely no sin, major or minor. Kayawma waladatu ummuhu. In the same way that he was in that condition the day his mother gave birth to him. This view that the Shaykh is expressing here is not the majority view. The majority view is that the person who performs Hajj and Mabrur, the reward, yani they will return, yani free from their minor sins. But in any case, this is the Shaykh, what he said here, in crystal clear language. Yani raja min al-dhunub naqiyyan, completely free, pure. La dhunuba alayhi. And this is also the opinion of Imam al-Qurtubi. And this is also the opinion of Qadi Iyad. And this is also the opinion of Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah. And I have actually in the past, in the discussion of this topic, referred to the sources where the opinions are mentioned. But here, yani I'm just referring to the statement of Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, and he is not alone, even though he's not the majority, but he's not alone from amongst the imams of the past, and other imams of the present also hold the same view as the Shaykh. And the point is, since there's difference of opinion about this matter, we're not going to make a big deal about it. But what we are going to say is that some major scholars, some imams of the past and imams of the present, understand this hadith to mean that a person will be free of all of their sins if they have performed Hajj al-Mabrur. So this is a tremendous thing. That alone could be an encouragement for a person who's able to make Hajj not to delay it. How could you delay it? How could you let this opportunity pass you by that maybe will not come again? It only comes once in a year. And maybe the next year you might not have the money. Next year you might not have good health. Next year you might not have safe passage. Next year whatever might happen, you don't know. How could a person let this pass them by? Now, hasten to do good deeds. Now,
is also
it also applies to the people. If somebody passed away, some can go make Hajj. It applies to them the same way also.
That if somebody made Hajj for somebody else?
Who passed away.
Who passed away? Allahu A'lam. Yeah, that's another discussion, right?
Yeah.
Somebody making Hajj for somebody else?
Yeah.
But this is a long discussion. Okay, but the first thing we have to look at, and we don't have time to go into that discussion today, but the first thing that a person has to look at when you talk about what will be the reward for the person who somebody else performs Hajj on their behalf. The first thing you have to look at is why is somebody else performing Hajj on their behalf? Why is somebody else performing Hajj on their behalf? That, we have to think about this, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't let it go so easily. That the person who didn't perform Hajj, such that somebody else has to perform Hajj for them, do they have a legitimate excuse why they didn't perform Hajj or not? That's the first thing we have to look at. If they had a legitimate excuse, perhaps Allah will accept that somebody else perform it for them and give them a full reward. Allah is rich, He gives that to whomever He wills, whatever He wills. But if they did not have a legitimate excuse, then what? Then what? Then definitely it can't be the same. That I have the ability to make, that not me, that somebody has the ability to make Hajj. I'm not putting myself in that example. Somebody has the ability to make Hajj. And they didn't do it, even though they had the ability, such that somebody else had to make it for them.
Yeah, I'm talking about
that. That's a problem. That's a problem. That's why I don't want to go into the details. We're just saying that we have to look at. Certainly there's a difference between the person who had a legitimate excuse, who didn't have the ability, and the person who had the ability. That's the first thing we have to look at. If a person had a legitimate excuse, then inshallah, Allah is merciful, Allah is kind, Allah is generous. Yani we expect good from Allah. Yani husnul dhan billahi. But to say the details of what would be their case, Allah only knows. But what we do say is that we have husnul dhan billahi. Person didn't have the ability to do good, and like the person who intended to make Hajj but never got the opportunity. They kept trying to save the money, but they could never get enough. They couldn't find a way. They couldn't get the means. Then inshallah, Yawm Al-Qiyamah, Allah is going to give them the reward for Hajj. Based on what? Niyyah. Al-Niyyah. Innama al-a'malu bin-niyyat. That's different. The person who wanted sincerely to do it but wasn't able, than the person who was able but didn't think it was important at the moment. That's a different situation. MashaAllah, we're not going to finish this today.
All those people, I was the first one to be able to go and make Hajj. 20 something years later, and maybe two people out of them.
No. So the point is that if a person is able to make Hajj, don't put it off for anything else. Make Hajj. That is your priority. Now, Abdul Haq.
Yeah,
Abdul Haq is waiting patiently with his hand there. Okay, so Yani, does this mean being free of sin, does that mean the person is free of the violation of rights of other people? Yani, in other words, if somebody lends you $100,000 and you made Hajj, do you become free from the obligation of paying them back the 100? No, of course not. No, the sins is in reference to the Yani, the punishment of Allah that you are due to receive justly for those sins. You are free from that. As far as the rights of people, even the rights of Allah are not obligated by Hajj. Yani, meaning that we have an obligation to perform certain duties. So those obligations don't just go away. Like the person who had a lot of money before he went to Hajj, and he didn't pay zakat on it, though zakat was due. Now he went to Hajj, then he came back. The zakat that's due is erased, or he still has to pay it? No, the rights that are upon a person don't go away with Hajj. The consequence of the sins that a person committed, Allah forgives by Hajj. He erased by Hajj. Not the rights that a person didn't fulfill, those rights are still upon them when they came back from Hajj. They still have to fulfill those duties and those obligations that were upon them, whether they're the rights of Allah or the rights of the people that Allah made obligatory upon them and they didn't, they still got to do them. If there are duties that can be made up later, they have to be made up. And a person didn't fast in Ramadan, and then after Ramadan they went to Hajj. So they don't have to make up the fast of Ramadan when they get back? No, they have to still do it. They still have to make up Ramadan, right? In the days later, they have to make it up. Now. No, it's not going to be the last question. Somebody else is going to have one after you. Maybe your last question. Okay, this is your last question for today.
So, like, when you just prefer to do that and get the reward.
40 Friday prayers consecutively, you get the reward like Hajj?
Yes.
I don't know that hadith. Anybody know it?
No, I never heard that.
Okay, I don't know it. I don't know it. But I'm not going to say it doesn't exist. I never heard of it. I don't know that hadith.
I understand the question of his question. But I give another one that's made. For example, like,
okay. That's the one you want to refer to. That's not the one he's referring to. He said Jumu'ah. And even that hadith that you're talking about, the hadith is not about getting reward of Hajj. But what he, the word that he's saying, maybe the reward of Hajj, that a person who prays the Fajr prayer in Jama'ah, and then sits remembering Allah until sunrise, and then prays 2 rak'ah or 4 rak'ah after sunrise, will get the reward of Hajj. Wa Umrah. Hajj wa Umrah. Tamatan. Hajj and Umrah. Naam. Does that mean that the person now, akhlas, now they don't have to make Hajj? No. It just means that Allah is rich. And Allah will give you a great reward like the reward of Hajj and Umrah. And you still have to make Hajj though. So, I don't know that hadith though, brother. But in any case, it certainly does not mean that you don't have to make Hajj. What it may mean is that you will get a great reward like the reward of Hajj. And that's easy for Allah. Because Allah said, anybody who did one good deed, the Prophet ﷺ said, it will be multiplied by like 10 like it. Or 700 like it, or ila masha'Allah, or as much as Allah wills. Yani unlimited. Unlimited. So it's possible that Allah can give somebody for Hajj 1 million rewards. So He can give somebody for praying the Fajr prayer in Jama'ah and remembering Allah until sunrise and praying after it, Salatul Duha. He can give 1 million rewards if He wants. That's no problem for Allah. No. But it doesn't mean that you became excused from the obligation of Hajj. Wallahu musta'an. Tayyib. This is the first hadith from our textbook. And the second hadith on this is the second hadith from our textbook. Naam. That was the second hadith. And the third hadith, wa anhu, yani an Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, al umratu ila al umrati kafaratun lima baynahuma wal hajj al mubrur laysa lahu jaza'u illa al jannah, muttafaqun alayh. The hadith that we read, the first hadith from Bulugh Maram. That's the hadith that we read from Bulugh Maram. So we already talked about that hadith. Al umratu ila al umrati kafaratun. Yani the performance of one umrah to the next is a kafara, expiation of sins that are committed between the two of those umrahs. Wal hajj al mubrur, and the Hajj which is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it doesn't have any reward except Jannah. Muttafaqun alayh. Fourth hadith, and the last hadith, because there were four topics, right? That Hajj is from the best of deeds, and that also the Hajj is the means of expiation of sins, and Hajj is what? Yani its reward is Jannah. And the fourth matter that they mentioned from the virtues of Hajj is based on the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, قالت قلت يا رسول الله نرى يعني نحن نرى الجهاد أفضل العمل أفلا نجاهد Yani Aisha radiallahu anha said, I said, O Messenger of Allah, we see, we view, we consider that jihad is the best of deeds. Afala nujahidu. Shall we not make jihad? What does that mean?
For women.
For women. Aisha is asking about the women. Shall we not also then join in the jihad? فَقَالَ لَكِنْ أَفْضَلُ الْجِهَادِ حَجٌ مَبْرُورٌ رَوَاهُ الْبُخَارِي. The Prophet ﷺ said, Yani, yeah, that's true, but the best of jihad is حَجٌ مَبْرُورٌ رَوَاهُ الْبُخَارِي. Okay, I want to just go to Bulugh al-Muram, page 207, hadith number 694. Because there's another hadith here that Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani mentions concerning this particular topic, and it's related, yani it gives us yani some added yani clarification of the meaning of this hadith. This is the second hadith of Bulugh al-Muram, 694, from Aisha radiallahu anha, radiallahu ta'ala anha. Note though the difference in the wording of this hadith, but this hadith also narrated from Aisha, and that's why I'm saying this hadith is good to keep in mind with these, with this hadith, because it gives us some further clarity on the first hadith. This hadith from Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, qalat, قلت يا رسول الله على النساء جهاد, meaning على النساء جهاد, يعني it's a question, على النساء جهاد, is the jihad obligatory upon the women? قال نعم عليهن جهاد لا قتال فيه الحج والعمرة. This is a different hadith but about the same topic. In this hadith, Aisha radiallahu anha asked the Prophet, is jihad obligatory upon the women? And the Prophet said, yes. Alayhinna jihadun. There is a jihad that's obligatory upon the women. Not the one that you're talking about. But another jihad. Alayhinna jihadun. He didn't say, alayhinna al-jihad. He said, alayhinna jihadun. What's the difference? Yani the Prophet ﷺ is distinguishing here not the jihad that you are asking about, but a jihad is obligatory upon the woman. And then he says, what kind of jihad is it? Jihadun la qitala fihi. A different type of exerting and struggling and striving that doesn't entail fighting. What is it? Al-hajju wal-umratu. Rawahu Ahmed wa Ibn Majah wa lafdh lahu. This wording is from the Sunan of Ibn Majah. وَإِسْنَادُهُ يعني الحافظ بن حجر الأسكلاني is saying وَإِسْنَادُهُ صَحِيحٌ وَأَصْلُهُ فِي الصَّحِيحِ يعني في الصحيح البخاري, يعني the hadith that we read from here, يعني meaning that the asl of this meaning came in a hadith that's in صحيح البخاري. But the isnad of this hadith, الحافظ ابن حجر says, يعني the isnad of this hadith is صحيح, and its meaning, the origin of it, the foundation of the meaning of this hadith is yani reported in the Sahih, and he means here Sahih al-Bukhari. That's the hadith that we just read, yani in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yani shall you make jihad the women? Yes, but yani the best of jihad yani for the women is hajjun mabrurun. Hajjun mabrurun. Yani this hadith in our textbook is from Bukhari. The hadith in Bulugh al-Muram is from Ahmed and Ibn Majah, and the wording is the wording of Ibn Majah. Naam.
Can we use this hadith the way where somebody says a woman should have involved in the army?
Well, Islamically for Muslims, the women shouldn't be fighting in the army unless yani special circumstances. It did happen in the time of the Prophet ﷺ that some women did fight. But generally speaking, the women, they were never enlisted into the army, and they were only yani accompanying the soldiers to help, to support, nursing, supplying them with needs or whatever, not to actually fight. But it did happen in some battles that some women did fight. that wasn't the intent that the Prophet ﷺ intended for women to fight in the jihad. So, the point is that this hadith is a clear proof what? That the Prophet ﷺ is saying, I know you realize the importance of jihad and you want to participate in it. Well, guess what? Allah has legislated something for you. It is a jihad that does not involve fighting. Naam. Okay, this is the last hadith that is mentioned in our textbook. The next topic, I'll stop here instead of going to the next topic and maybe take a benefit. From the Sheikh Al Uthaymeen in the few minutes that we have remaining, only just a couple of minutes. Guy, what is your question? Who had the hand first?
My question is about this hadith.
No. No, Umrah and Hajj. Yani, what appears to be the meaning of it is the performance of Umrah and Hajj together. Yeah, you know that the types of Hajj are three. So there's Ifrad, where you just perform Hajj alone. And then usually people who are coming from outside of Mecca, they're not just performing Hajj alone, but they're either performing Hajj and Umrah in one Ihram, which is called Hajj. In one ihram, it's called Qiran. Or they're performing Hajj and Umrah in separate ihram, that's called Tamattu. So this is what is intended here, Wallahu A'lam, is that they perform Hajj and Umrah, either Qiran or Tamattu. Yani generally speaking, people are not coming from outside performing Hajj Ifrad. Except people in Mecca or people inside the country, they may just be performing Hajj alone. So what is intended here is that the woman go for the performance of pilgrimage, she performs Hajj and Umrah in the same journey, either in one ihram or in separate ihram, but at the same time, in the same journey.
What is somebody has the ability to perform Hajj and Umrah together, but he's not able to because they don't know the
du'as? They have the ability and they're able, they didn't know the du'as, then do they know how to read? Just take a book. Then they can ask somebody to help them, to read to them. No problem. Anyway, that shouldn't stop a person from... That's like a person who says, I didn't learn how to make salat yet, so I'm not going to pray until I learn how to make salat. No, you just join in with the congregation and do the best you can. Don't abandon it, no. I would say no. If a person did that, may Allah forgive them. But if somebody's asking, should I go now? I have the ability, but I don't know the supplication. I would say, absolutely, you must go. This is the last thing we're going to close with, the hukm of Hajj from Fiqh al-Ibadat, Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, and then next week we'll go like continue where we left off today. Hukm al-Hajj, the question was asked, Ya Fadilat to Shaykh, Ma huwa hukm al-Hajj, what is the rule concerning Hajj? He said that Hajj is fardun bi ijma' al-Muslimin, it's obligatory. A, bil kitabi wa sunnah wa ijma' al-Muslimin, yani that it is obligatory based upon the book and the sunnah and the consensus of the Muslims. Wa huwa ahad arkan al-Islam, and it is one of the pillars of Islam based on the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we read, Surah Ali Imran, 3rd Surah, 97th ayat. Naam, that Allah has a right over the people to perform Hajj to the Bayt, whoever has a way to get there and whoever disbelieves, that Allah is free of need of all the worlds. And also the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the hadith reported by Al-Imam Muslim, إِنَّ اللَّهَ فَرَضَ عَلَيْكُمْ الْحَجِّ فَحَجُّوا أَوْ فَحُجُّوا. Yani that Allah has made obligatory upon you the Hajj, فَحُجُّ, therefore you must perform Hajj. And also the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hadith that's reported, yani by Bukhari and Muslim, بُنِيَ الْإِسْلَامُ عَلَى خَمْسٍ, that Islam is built upon five foundations, the testimony that there is nothing which deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone and that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah, وَإِقَامِ السَّلَاةِ, establishing the prayer, fulfilling the zakat, and fasting, Ramadan, and Hajj to the Bayt, to the sacred house of Allah. The Shaykh says, فَمَنْ أَنْكَرَ فَرِيدَةَ الْحَجِّ فَهُوَ كَافِرٌ مُرْتَدٌ عَنِ الْإِسْلَامِ. And this is an important point, that we referred to earlier, but the Shaykh adds something to this statement that's very important. Whoever denies the obligation of Hajj, whoever says, I don't believe that Hajj is obligatory, this person is a disbeliever who has gone outside of Islam, murtad. Illa, Shaykh said, illa ayakunu jahilan bidhalik. Except that a person is just ignorant. He doesn't know that Hajj is obligatory. Okay, this is always very important that when we make these rulings, we have to consider that there is something called al-udhr bil-jahl. That there are some circumstances in which a person is excused due to ignorance. Sheikh said, accept that the person is ignorant of the fardiyat al-hajj, of the obligation of hajj. وَهُوَ مِمَّا يُمْكِنْ جَهْلُهُ بِهِ. And this is something that is possible, a person could be ignorant of it. The Shaykh is saying, this is not my words, he's saying, yes, being ignorant of Hajj, is it possible? هُوَ مِمَّا يُمْكِنْ جَهْلُهُ بِهِ. It is possible that a person could be ignorant of Hajj. كَحَدِيثِ الْأَحْبِ الْإِسْلَامِ. A person who is newly entered into Islam. وَنَاشِيَ فِي الْبَادِيَةِ بَعِيدًا. Or a person who is raised in the desert, far away from people, from other people. Well, they don't have any knowledge of Islam. لا يعرف من أحكام الإسلام شيئا. Person didn't know anything about the rulings of Islam. That's possible. فهذا يعذر بجهله. This person is excused due to his ignorance. And also, you should know that the Shaykh, by the examples that he gave, he's saying that there are circumstances in which a person really could be excused for not knowing. A person who just entered Islam, he might not know the all about Hajj. Person who's far out in the desert, away from people, just living with camels, maybe he doesn't know. The Shaykh said, what? لا يعرف من أحكام الإسلام شيء. He doesn't know anything about the أحكام الإسلام. So this person who is in that position where he couldn't know yet, or he didn't have any chance to know, he may be excused by his ignorance. But then the Shaykh didn't stop there, as he always does. He completes the topic by saying, ويعرف ويبين له الحكم. This person, he's excused. Then when somebody came to know he doesn't know, he's made to know. And it's made clear to him the hukum concerning Hajj. فَإِنْ أَصَرَّ عَلَىٰ إِنْكَارِهِ حُكِمَ بِرِدَّتِهِ. Then after he came to know, and it was made clear, the Shaykh said he's made to know, and it's made clear to him, what is the ruling? If he continues to reject, to deny the obligation of Hajj, حُكِمَ بِرُدَّتِهِ. Then, yani the ruling, he is ruled, yani to be an apostate. أَمَّا مَنْ تَرَكَهُ. As far as the person who abandoned the Hajj, al-Hajj, مُتَحَاوِلًا, due to, مُتَحَاوِلًا, negligence, or taking the matter lightly. He didn't give care to it. مَا اعْتِرَافِهِ بِشَرَعِيَّتِهِ. But he confessed, he acknowledged that it is legislated. But he متحاول, he's negligent. فَهَذَا لَا يُكْفَر. فَهَذَا لَا يُكْفَر. This person, he is not to be declared to be a kafir. وَلَكِنَّهُ عَلَى خَطَرٍ عَظِيمٍ. But this person is in a great danger. وَقَدْ قَالَ بَعْضُ أَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ بِكُفْرِهِ. And even some scholars said that this person is a kafir. Shaykh is saying, no, we don't declare this person to be a kafir. But he's in a great danger. And some scholars even said, yes, he is a kafir. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Shadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.